Good afternoon. This is the Chorus Call conference operator. Welcome, and thank you for joining the Banco BPM Full Year 2019 Results Conference Call. As a reminder, all participants are in listen-only mode. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. Should anyone need assistance during the conference call, they may signal an operator by pressing star and zero on their telephone. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Roberto Peronaglio, IR Manager. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you very much, everybody, to be here with the conference. Before leaving the field to our CEO, let me remind that you can find the presentation on the website, on the IR page, and that the Q&A section is reserved to financial analysts. Thank you very much.
Good evening, everybody. This is Giuseppe Castagna speaking. Thank you for being with us this evening for the presentation of full year results of 2019. As you know, this is a special year for us because it's also the final year of the first business plan we had when we started the merge between the two banks. Let me allow to introduce this presentation, starting from some successful delivery my team was able to perform during this three-year plan. Of course, as you know, we will have a much deeper presentation on the business plan of the next three years, in which we can also make some further comments on the first three years of the merger. Let me start with a very sound capital position. I will give you some number just to recap on what we have achieved. We started this transaction with a Common Equity Tier 1 fully loaded over 12.3%. The target was 12.9%, and I would say that we can announce that we basically achieved the target, terminating this year with a 13% fully loaded Common Equity Tier 1, which after the payment of the proposed dividends will go to 12.8%. Texas ratio, starting from 162%, was due to land to 114%. We are now to 52%. De-risking, gross NPE down from 31 billion to a target of 23 billion. Now we are at 10.1 billion. Gross NPE ratio from almost 25% with a target to 17%, we are now at 9.1%. As much as in the net NPE ratio, we started at 15.7% with a target of 11.1% and a result of 5.2%. Also, the rationalization of our cost structure overcame the business plan. The branch were down to 1,700 starting from 2,400. The headcount starting from 25,000 were due to land at 22,560, and we are now below 22,000. The cost efficiency. The total operating cost started at 3.086 billion. The target for the plan was 2.858 billion, with a reduction of 228 million. Now we achieved a very successful 2.6 billion with a reduction of 482 million from the starting point. This was achieved in a very challenging environment in which, of course, we can see how all the macro were basically against the possibility to reach good results, starting from the Euribor, which in our plan was due to be 10 basis points positive in 2019, and you know that now we are 38 basis points negative. Also, the GDP didn't go as we expected. We did the business plan with a forecast of growth of 1% year by year, and we are now 0.2%. Also the spread, BTP-Bund, even though it's recovered during the last months, for the majority of duration of the plan was well above what we forecast, which was 81 basis points. These results allow us to deliver results which is above the recent guidance that I gave to you in the last quarter, give us the possibility to propose a dividend of 8 cents per share, which means a dividend yield of 4.1%, and of course pave the way for presenting the new business plan the 3rd of March next month. Let's go to some figure related to the 2019. We achieved a stated profitability of almost 800 million, adjusted was 649 million. The comprehensive profitability, the creation of capital was really strong, 1.3 billion stated, 926 million adjusted. And I remember that this is without considering the strong contribution that we have in the reserve of HTC, which now accounts to around 700 million. Also, the capital position and the buffer on the P2R are very, very sound. We have reached 14.6 on Common Equity Tier 1 phase-in, 12.8 again fully loaded after the payment of the dividend, with an MDA buffer which is 440 basis points phase-in, 230 basis points fully loaded. If we add on to this figure the recent contribution of 400 million of 81 issued in January, we end up having a buffer of MDA higher than 500 basis point phase-in and almost 300 basis point in fully loaded. The risk profile has bettered a lot, even in a year in which there wasn't the massive disposal that we have experienced during the first 2 years of the merger. Nevertheless, the gross NPE went down 1.7 billion year-on-year, net NPE down 1.2 billion, with the ratio, which I already mentioned, 9.1 gross and 5.2 net. The unrealized reserve and unrealized gains, I mentioned the HTM, which were at the end of the year 520 million, now they are back to almost 700 million, as well as the reserve on to collect and sale, which were in December 71 million, and now are again almost 100 million more. This is after, as you know, realizing a sound contribution from disposal of Govies for a total consideration of 1 billion in last quarter 2019. Also, the commercial activities eventually giving strong results, as we, frankly speaking, were expecting, looking at the volumes that we were generating. We have been growing year-on-year almost 3% on loans, more than 8% on deposit, and 4.5% in asset under management. The liquidity and the funding position is very strong. We have an LCR of 165% and SFR of more exceeding 100% and an encumbered eligible asset for more than 20 billion. Nowadays, we are up to 22 billion. Sorry. Let's go to what I mentioned before, the comprehensive profitability. I think it's quite important to also drive you through this number. We start from the P&L stated, which of course include also a series of devaluation from the activity that we had on our real estate asset, property and artworks. This ended up producing a negative impact on P&L of 130 million, which we already find in the P&L. Meanwhile, the positive effect that you see in the box down in the slide 8 generate, in terms of capital, 367 million of pre-tax, 250 million post-tax, as well as through the disposal that we had and the revaluation that we had in all to collect and sale, both in debt and in the equity side, we are having an increase in capital of 267 million pre-tax and 179 million post-tax for the debt side, and 151 million pre-tax and 120 million post-tax in terms of equity revaluation. Just to mention the two main figures, of course, the debt revaluation comes almost all from Govies. The equity revaluation comes from two asset revaluation, which were Anima, which you know we have a stake of 15%, and Sorgenia. Basically, under half and half the contribution that you see on the box. This brought to increase for more than 500 million the capital generation on top of the profit and loss, which bring us to 1.3 billion, and this is of course without considering the massive reserves that we still have under held to maturity govies, which I remember before amount to almost 700 million. Even if we consider net, this amount would be in the region of 500 million, bringing the total creation of capital generation, let's say a sort of NAV, in the region of 1.8 billion. This was generated during 2019. Let's have a look, even though we'll go through the number to the P&L. I have to mention that we have registered some downside in NII. This was expected due to the sale of govies and the massive bond issue that we did in the fourth quarter, as well as the effect of the Euribor. Then we will go further to these details. I would say almost completely offset by the increase of fees and commission. The net financial results, as I mentioned below, was impacted by the massive sales of govies, generating this very sound profitability, bringing total income in the quarter to more than 1.183 million. Operating costs were in line with the previous quarter, amounting to 654 million, generating profit from operation in the quarter for 528 million, basically the same number both stated and adjusted, as well as also the provision are basically the same in the two balance sheet, in the two profit and loss. The provision for this year amounted, for the last quarter, amounted to 220 million. After that, you have the more impacting change between the state and the adjusted. Basically, we had the already mentioned devaluation of the properties for 130 million and provisioning for risk charges for 62 million. The pre-tax profit of the quarter were 150 million in Q4 stated, 300 million adjusted, which after tax and systemic charges brought the profitability to 95.8 million and adjusted, of course, 246 million. Let's go to the different items of the profit and loss. Just to go deeper into what I mentioned before, the different contribution between NII and commission, you can see that we started very low in commission to 434 million. We ended up with 462 million, so almost 28 million more, as well as we reduced of almost 27 million the NII. This brings to the effect that we have almost the same amount of contribution considering core revenues, both NII and commission, but in a different composition, with the commission which passed from 46 to 49%, and NII going down from 54 to 51%. On page 11, we can go deeper into these numbers, especially in NII. We have a reduction of almost 20 million. This comes from 8.7 million in the right side, of the slide 11. 8.7 million comes from commercial banking. 5.7 is the effect of Euribor, the reduction. 3 million is the effect of the growth in deposit. Meanwhile, we have 3 million of difference negative in the reduction of UTP contribution, and as I mentioned before, almost 13 million down from what we call non-commercial banking, which basically are govies disposal, bond issue, and other hedging activity. The good news is that we have been, for the first quarter, resilient to the asset spread. You remember that I mentioned that we are starting different action to stop the reduction of the asset spread, and this is the first quarter in which we can say that the asset spread stayed at 185 basis point. The customer spread went down 1 basis point, but this was the effect of the reduction of the 2 basis point in the Euribor figure. Let's have a look on page 12 on the volumes of the balance sheet. As I mentioned before, a growth in net performing customer loan of around 3%, mainly driven by a growth of almost 7% year-on-year on the medium-term loans. Meanwhile, we reduced our share of current accounts due to the negative impact that this source of asset gives to our NII. In terms of direct funding, we have increasing of almost 7 billion the current account and deposit, 8% year-on-year. In the last quarter, we were successful in limiting the increase in current account and deposit, also due to the switch that we have in asset under management. Going to asset under management, you can see that we have experienced a growth year-on-year 4.7%, mainly driven by market effect. Meanwhile, in the last quarter, there was also a good performance, commercial performance. Let's have a look to the lending activity more in deep. We were able to replicate and being a bit better than last year new loans generation, even though, as you know, the year was negative for the market. We grew. We were able to increase to 21.4 billion the new medium-term loans production, increasing 26% on the mortgages, and with a slight decrease of 3.2% in in corporates, where we had last year in 2018 two big ticket, which we don't have anymore in 2019. As I mentioned before, on the right side of page 13, you see the good work we are doing on the repricing. As you remember, we started this policy firstly with the corporate, which went up from 120 to 135 basis point, and with the SMEs, we started only in the third quarter 2019, but we are already registering a good increase from 214 to 222 basis point all in. This is even better if you consider that the yearly average of the Euribor went down 3 basis points. Let me also underline that there is another good piece of news, is the second bullet point. We are still experiencing new lending in residential mortgages, which have a spread which is lower than the one maturing, but in the corporate business is the opposite. So we are finally having new lending with increasing spread vis-à-vis the one mature expiring. On page 14, you have an overview of our production issuing of wholesale bond. This was a year in which we were very active in all the kind, all the different instruments. As you can see, if you consider also the 400 million I mentioned before of 81, basically in 13 months we had 2.8 billion of new issuing, split between 1.75 of senior, 700 million of 81, and 350 million of tier 2. This allow us to cope without any problem with the maturities that we have this year. In 2020 we will have 2.4 billion of maturities, as well as we can assume that the reduction in the average rates and average spread that we experienced in 2019, as you see, we had the maturities at 3.8%, renewed at 2.2%. We now have in 2020 to replace maturities at an senior maturities, of course, at an average rate of 2.8%. Let's pass to the good results of net fee and commission. As you can see, I already mentioned the growth starting from the first quarter. Also, the if we have a focus on the investment product fees on the right side of the slides, you see a 9% increase since the first quarter 19, a very good performance of the upfront fees, testifying the good new level of production and a very comfortable production of running fees. If we compare last quarter 19 to last quarter 18, we have 29 million more of revenues coming from the investment product fees. We didn't include, in order not to have a difficult comparison in the first quarter this year, 5.7 million of performance fees due to the very good performance of our asset under management activity in the last quarter, but this amount to 5.7 million. On page 16, I think it's very interesting to follow what I always told you in the last quarter, that we were experiencing a very good growth and a very good trend in the investment product. As you can see, starting from 2.9 billion the first quarter this year, we went up to 3.4, 3.5. Last quarter, we performed a very good result of 3.7 billion. If you compare 3.7 billion with the last quarter last year, 2.5 billion, we have a growth of 48%. On the right side, there is also the contribution on the total net fees and commission, sound contribution, stable, of the upfront fees. So also the new model that we have, as you know, after the merger, we started in 2018 of the advisory by portfolio, is coming back to generate a good piece of upfront fees. Page 17, I think, is doesn't need so many comments. Is really, I would say, an extraordinary results coming from the consideration that, as you know, in the third quarter 19, we communicate to the market the global reserves for more than 1 billion. We consider only prudent to monetize some of them and realize some profit from them. I already mentioned that the results that are under reserve on debt security, which, as you know, are not included in P&L, but are included in capital position, grew since the end of the year from 71 million 172 million, and unrealized gains on debt security on HTM grew from 520 million to almost 700 million during the month of January this year. On page 18, you find the very well diversified, also this is a part of the de-risking, I would say, that we performed during the last 3 years. We went down in Italian govies, representing 84% of the total portfolio to 50%, reducing the Italian govies from 26.7 billion to 15.5 billion. On the lower part of this slide, you have also the duration of the govies, total govies, both in held to collect and sale and held to maturity. Let's pass on page 19 to the very good performance that we had on cost reduction, very much ahead of the expectation. As I mentioned before, we reduced 480 million since the starting point of the business plan, but only in 2019 we performed the reduction of more than 190, almost 190 million, almost 7%. This comes from the, again, the headcount reduction we had in last year, the retail network, the organization, but the stable, and now I can say normal level of operating cost that you are performing quarter on quarter. As you can see, there is no such difference between the different quarter this year results. Let's say that in the staff cost we have still some conservatism due to the new contract, so we didn't go directly on profit and loss in terms of having less provision for the new contract. Also because of the very good reduction in other administrative costs, which went down 10% since the first quarter, and on a different stage, the performance on depreciation and amortization. Let me give some more hint about the change in accounting model for property and artworks. Of course, we have all the different accounting principle in the attached, but let me say this is something that we decide to do because, as you know, after the merger, we find us in a position unbalanced, I would say, in terms of real estate asset. We had a lot of real estate asset coming from the previous bank, coming from the non-performing loans and so on. So we decide to, this is anticipation of course of the new business plan, in the new business plan we will have also a de-risking activity, I would say a massive de-risking activity in terms of properties, which will bring to a strong reduction of the balance sheet. In order to do that, we decided to go to change our accounting model to a fair value accounting model, which basically allow us to reevaluate at fair value all our portfolio, but with different posting of the results that we have. Just to summarize, you have the P&L, which is affected by a decrease of the asset we are below fair value, and this is brought directly to profit and loss for 130 million. Meanwhile, you have directly to capital, without passing from the profit and loss, the positive revaluation, mainly due to the instrumental asset. This brings to a positive effect in capital of 350 million and a negative effect in profit and loss of 130 million. So all in all, we have 223 million of capital impact, of which 180 million properties and 40 million in artworks. Let's pass on page 22 to the strong improvement that we are still experiencing in the asset quality. We have reduced from 11.8 billion beginning of the year to 10 billion December 19, of which 6.4 billion UTP and 3.6 billion bad loans. The NPE stock net went down from 6.7 billion to 5.5 billion, so a reduction in line of the gross book value, almost 15% for the gross and 17% year on year for the net. This brought the ratio, I already mentioned before, to 9.1% of NPE, 5.2% net, and 3.2% of bad loan ratio, 1.5% net bad loan ratio. We took advantage to this very good balance sheet also to strengthen our UTP coverage. We went up from 37.1% to 39.1%, 200 basis points of increase. We also increased, of course, for a much limited amount, the PD coverage from the past due coverage from 18% to 26%. Let me only remember also, coming back to the business plan, that the starting point for the business plan was 27%, so increased 12 full point in terms of increasing coverage of UTP, and also the target, strangely enough, was 27.5%. Meanwhile, we now reach 39%. On page 23, you find one of the means for which we were successfully delivering these results. We registered a very good decrease in net flows of NPEs, year on year 15% reduction, very good and very sound fourth quarter, even better the net the flows from UTP to bad loans down 32%. I already mentioned the 220 million of provision, which brought the cost of risk to 73 basis points. Let me say that we didn't consider the Sorgenia transaction, which impacted for more than 110 million under this account. So if we perform also Sorgenia as a recovery of a provision, we would have ended up to 62 basis points. The global NPE workout activity on page 24 is basically due to the LA's transaction beginning of the year, which was the only disposal that we performed this year. Meanwhile, the rest was the main part of the reduction was brought by the cancellation, write-off, recovery and cure rate, which amounted for something like 2.3 billion vis-a-vis net inflows from 1.2 billion. On page 25, we wanted to give up a recap of because we always speak about the very good performance in reducing bad loans. Let me say that we did an extraordinary performance also in the reduction of UTP. If you consider that this is basically all due to workout, as you can see. In the different 3 years of the plan, we had a decrease of 1.8, 1.7, and 1.2 billion, basically driven by the green block, which is squared under the red circle, which is the workout. Meanwhile, the inflow basically were compensated by the outflows to bad loans. So if you don't consider these two effects, the real reduction comes from a very effective and industrialized machine that we build up during these 3 years, which is delivering year by year, and in terms of percentage, even better the third year vis-à-vis the first year. As I mentioned before, this allowed us to increase also the coverage in 1 year, 400 basis points, 410 basis points. In the last quarter, 200 basis points of UTP coverage. Let's comment the significant increase in the capital ratios. Let me remember that last year we had a stated Common Equity Tier 1 of 10%, which pro forma was 11.5%. Last quarter was 12.1%, and due to the different step that you can see on page 26, we reached this very ambitious 13% of capital, Common Equity Tier 1, for which we were enabled to propose a dividend distribution of €0.08, which amounts to 20 basis points of a Common Equity Tier 1. As I mentioned before, the 12.8% match with the 14.6% of Common Equity Tier 1 phase-in, which is some 500 basis points better than the P2R. We also calculated the MDA buffers, as I mentioned before, in order to give you some hint about the capability of the bank to deliver profitability and possibly maintaining dividends distribution in the future, even though we still have, of course, to offset some headwind, some regulatory headwind. All in all, let me say that thanks to the profitability, to the good profitability, which we reached through a positive trend, an increase in investment product fees, a very strict control of cost, a sound and constant reduction in cost of risk, and a resilient growth in business volumes, we were also able to build up a capital position strongest ever in our bank, and also considering the previous banks, allowing us again to withstand potential future regulatory headwinds as much as distribution of dividends. Very good also again the reduction, continuous reduction in the level of NPL in all the metrics, workout, lower inflows, and higher coverage. Finally, let me mention again the strong funding and liquidity position of the bank, and all in all, this allowed us to finally arrive in 3 years to the dividend distribution. On page 28, and I will terminate with this slide, leaving you the floor for some questions, is a sort of outlook for 2020. Let me say that, of course, most of the things that we have to say about the future will be included in the presentation of our strategic plan in March 3, in less than 1 month's time. But all in all, I would say that the core revenues will be driven by the growth in net fees and commission, able to offset the potential pressure on net interest income, which in our case not only comes from what I already mentioned, Euribor, Govies, UTP, funding for the new bond, but also for a reduction of PPA year-on-year. We will continue a strict cost control also during 2020, but we will start also to invest and to increase the cost for our IT system in order to allow a growth in the business activity. We will always control and reduce the cost of risk and the NPL ratio, and we are sure that with this track record of internal capital generation that we performed in a very difficult environment of these 3 years, we can support sustainable shareholder remuneration, managing also every potential future regulatory headwind. Thank you very much. I am free for your questions.